Great. Good morning, church. Thank you so much for joining us again on this wonderful morning as we are celebrating Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all fathers out there. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you a long life. Your kids, your wives, your relatives need you around. And I want to bless every father who's been present in their children's lives. You know, it's easy to celebrate mothers, but you realize that on Father's Day, there isn't much that goes on. But fathers are such a blessing because they're the head of the home. And when it is well with the father, it is well with the family. So I want to bless every dad, every father who is watching me right now. Maybe you are a spiritual father to spiritual children. May the Lord continue giving you wisdom. May the Lord continue giving you the grace to carry the burden that you carry every single day. Fathers carry a lot of burdens and they need our prayers. And so we pray for all the fathers out there. May the Lord give you the strength because you're the image of God. And so, Father, right now I pray for every father right now. Those who are doing well, those who are struggling, Lord, I thank you that your grace is sufficient, Lord. And so right now we declare a blessing over every father. We declare long life over every father this morning. And so, Father, we thank you and we give you glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. I don't want to waste too much of your time. Allow me to go straight into the word. Let's jump straight into the word this morning. Go with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answering Peter said to him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and have followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit life eternal," or inherit everlasting life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, as indicated last week, today was supposed to be the last episode of this series that we've been going through, the series entitled Glory Dispensers. We've been on it for 6 weeks, and God has really been blessing us. However, as I was preparing, I realized that the amount of information that God just put on my heart will not be covered in one session. So we're going to finish off next week. Now, in this series of Glory Dispensers, we went through a journey that brought us to a conclusion that says, we are glory dispensers. And the Lord is looking at you and he's saying, "Can I use you? Can I borrow? Lend me your vessel, lend me your body so that I can use it as a dispenser for my glory." And you need to start seeing yourself as a distribution center for the glory of God. Every child of God has to be a distribution center for the glory of God. Now, as we are continuing on this series, allow me to indulge your thoughts around this concept that will frame what we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm sure you must have heard this statement being said and being thrown around, especially in the house of God, where you are told, it's not about what you get out of it, it's about what you put in. And whenever you come into the house of God, that has been the notion to say, do not ask what you're going to get out of it. You've got to ensure that you make a contribution towards what's happening in the house of God. And I've come to realize that in the sphere of Christendom, it becomes very uncomfortable for anyone, any volunteer to ask, what's in it for me? You almost feel you're being ungodly when you ask that question. And this is a profound attitude to have whenever we are serving God. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about us making a contribution. However, I've come to realize that this statement needs to be viewed in a balanced way. We need to view this statement in a balanced way. Just a parenthesis, a bracket. If you hear some sound in the background, we've got people cutting trees around here, so you might hear a chainsaw going. So just bear with us for a moment. However, you know, we need to view this statement with a balanced view. Because if we do not have a balanced view, we risk to run into not appropriating correctly some principles in the kingdom of God that we find in the Bible. Inasmuch as our attitude should never be about what we get out of it, there's a need to understand the way God operates when we serve Him in the house of God. So this morning, I want to take you through one such principle that governs us when we serve God in His house. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the reward of a glory dispenser. The reward of a glory dispenser. When you look at a reward is a thing given to you in recognition of a service, of an effort, or an achievement. It's a recognition. It's when people recognize you for having put in an effort. So yes, you heard me correctly. We want to talk about the reward of a glory dispenser. Now, I want you to realize something this morning. That becoming a glory dispenser will cost you almost everything about your life. Becoming a glory dispenser will cost you, but it will position you for an uncommon reward. Hello? It will position you to receive an uncommon reward. There is nothing that God will demand of you that He is not able to match. I want you to realize this morning that God will never demand you to give something that He is not able to pay you back for. And that brings me to this statement that no one can outgive God. Whatever you give, God will do better. And my prayer this morning is, as we go through this sermon, may your faith be stirred up. May you have a paradigm shift with regards to how you've been serving God. Because nobody can outgive God. Whatever you are prepared to sacrifice, God is able to do even more. Can I hear an amen this morning? Whatever you're able to release, God is able to give back to you. The Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your bosom. So when you give, the Lord will cause men to give back to you. And that is why we need to understand this morning the principle of the reward in the house of God. Besides, there is nothing that you can give that you would not have received from God. Whatever you give out, it would have been received from God, and you are simply a channel through which God would disseminate the same blessing to somebody else. Now, let's look at the scriptures that we've just read. Jesus was having a conversation with a rich young man. Yeah. A rich young man, when the Bible talks about a rich person, it means this person was loaded. And this young man had said to Jesus, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, have you not heard of the laws? And the young man said, I have followed all the laws. I've done everything in my power to live according to the commandments. And Jesus pulls up one card, which blew him out. And Jesus said to him, you lack one more thing. Go home and give away everything that you own and follow me and do the work of the kingdom. And the Bible said this young man was very sorrowful because he was so rich, he wasn't prepared to part with some of his cars and some of his houses, some of his gold. And Jesus said, it is so difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He said, but with God, nothing is impossible. Now, Brother Peter, when he heard Jesus talking, he thought, oh yeah, it is time for me to jump into it. And Peter, being Peter, he thought of jumping into this conversation that Jesus was alluding to. And Peter was trying to tell Jesus, he said, well, I just overheard you talking to this young rich person. As for me and all these other disciples, we've just passed that test. We left our wives, we left our houses so as to follow you. What's in it for us? So this is where we find the scripture in Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answering Peter said to him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? What a profound question. Or maybe one would call it, what an ungodly question. Or maybe one would say, what a naughty question that Peter was asking here. Peter had spoken aloud what other disciples were silently saying in their hearts. Peter had just uttered what people were thinking about. You know, you want those kind of people in your work environment who've got the tenacity and the boldness to speak aloud what everybody else is whispering in the corridors. You want that kind of a person in your church leadership who is able to tell you what everybody else is not comfortable to say. Now, putting religiosity aside, this is a question that every volunteer in the house of God has asked themselves. They have asked, what's in it for me? I wake up early in the morning for band practice before the service. I go and clean up the church every single Saturday afternoon. I go for band practice on a Saturday afternoon. What's in it for me? And I have also asked that question, to be honest with you. But we thank God for people like Peter. You see, a lot of people are comfortable to ask this question to their bosses. They are able to go to their boss and say, what's the bonus scheme if I do this, if I achieve this deal, if I strike this contract? What's in it for me? What's the bonus structure? How is it going to be looking like if I achieve this milestone? We are comfortable with asking our bosses those questions, but we are not comfortable with asking God that same question. Maybe it speaks of our view of God. Maybe we think God is a shrewd businessman who is not prepared to reward effort. Maybe we think God is not concerned about our sacrifices. Now, this morning, I want to take you on a journey that will bring a paradigm shift, a change of view around our service in the house of God. Now, I want you to realize that when Jesus had this question, he did not slap Peter on the knuckles and say, you naughty Peter, how could you ask such a question? It's a selfish question. One would think that Jesus would put Peter to order. No, but Jesus looked at that question as an opportunity to teach the disciples another kingdom principle. It is a principle that you and I need to understand. So when you look at Matthew 19, 28, it then gives us an answer that should encourage you, that should encourage me as we serve God. The Bible says in verse 28, and Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I love it because Jesus said to the disciples, there is something special about you. You have forsaken everything. You have done everything in your power. And guess what? This kingdom is a kingdom that operates on a reward system. And he said to the disciples, you are a special breed of people. There will be a special position that you will occupy. And he told them, that you also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I love it because Jesus did not just stop there. There would have been a problem if Jesus had just stopped there, because every other preacher would be telling you, the reward was just for the apostles. But Jesus goes on and says in verse 29, and everyone, and when you look at that word, everyone in Greek, it means everyone. In Zulu, it means everyone. And everyone who left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Other versions say that they shall receive a hundredfold in this world and in the world to come. So this answer is an answer that should stir up something in your heart. It is an answer that should say to me, it's not for naught. It's not in vain serving God. When you have left houses, when you have left your wife, your husband, what that means is that you're not divorcing your wife, you're not divorcing your husband. It means that the time that you should be spending with your wife or your husband, you're sacrificing it, maybe praying for somebody or visiting a sick person at the hospital. Jesus is saying you will not lose your reward. The time you should be spending with your children, the Bible is telling us that it's not for waste. Of course, everything in balance. I know there are people who are spending 100% of their time in church to the deprivation of their families. This is not what Jesus is talking about. There is a time where you'll be asked to sacrifice, but there is a time you need to pay attention to the relationships that God has given you. Now listen to me. Serving God without a revelation of the principle of reward will cause you to serve Him grudgingly. Serving God without a revelation of the reward principle will cause you to serve Him complaining, murmuring, because you're thinking, what's in it for me? I'm just toiling and toiling and toiling. I don't even know if God sees what I'm doing. But I want you to understand that there is a principle of reward that is in operation in the kingdom of God. The moment you rise up and you serve God and you become a glory dispenser, you tap into the principle of the reward in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It is so important for every volunteer, every child of God, to understand that when you are serving God, don't do it in a grudgingly manner. Do it with a joyful heart, knowing that the reward is coming. The Bible tells us, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap. There is a due season. There is a time to sow. There is a time to reap. And we are told in Galatians, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, it is a matter of time before you receive your reward from the one whom you are serving. Glory be to God. So the Bible teaches us the principle of reward, and every believer ought to understand this. So this morning, I want to take you through 7 underlying pillars of the reward principle. 7 underlying principles, 7 underlying pillars, rather, of the reward principle. We need to understand this for us to be able to receive that which is rightfully ours when we serve God. Hallelujah. The first principle or the first pillar we need to understand is this. The reward is experienced both now and in the world to come. When the principle of reward is being implemented, there is a portion of that reward that you will receive now and now. And there is a portion of the reward that you receive in the afterlife. Glory be to God. Where we've read in Matthew 19, it gives us an understanding of this double portion, or this the double portion of this reward system. Hallelujah. Where Jesus told Peter in verse 29, he says, and everyone who left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life.
You need to understand this morning that there is a reward that you will experience here on earth. Every glory dispenser will experience the reward of the Lord right here on earth. And people will see the reward of God. For everybody who serves God will be rewarded here. You receive a hundredfold in this world. In other words, you get back other portions of the Gospels actually talk about getting back your mother, your father. In other words, God will give you back everything that you would have sacrificed in your time of serving God. That, like I said earlier on, nobody can outgive God. Whatever you give, the Lord is able to do better. The Lord is able to perform. Otherwise, he ceases from being God if we are on the same level of giving. And then Jesus saying, and everlasting life. When you serve God faithfully, there is a reward called everlasting life. And that is the greatest reward of all. In the afterlife, when we spend eternity with Jesus, beholding the glory of Jesus, beholding the glory of God, that is one of the greatest rewards that every dispenser of the glory of God will experience. Matthew 5, from verse 10 to 12 says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is yours. When we speak of the kingdom of heaven, there is stuff that we experience right here on earth, and there is stuff that we'll experience in the afterlife. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You see, in the process of serving God, in the process of living the upright life, in the process of living a God-honoring life, guess what? You will be falsely accused. You will be persecuted. And the Bible says here, blessed are you. Empowered to prosper are you. When you experience things because you are serving God, I don't know what has been your journey. Maybe you have gone through trouble with your family because you are saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you've been fired from work because you are standing for righteousness. I want you to know the Bible is saying here, blessed are you. Blessed are you when all of these things happen because you have been dispensing the glory of God. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. You see, there are crowns waiting for us. The Apostle Paul talks about, he says, I have run my race. I have finished. I have fought a good fight of faith. And what is awaiting me is that crown of glory. Hallelujah. He says, I have finished all that I was supposed to do. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to run to finish. Do not just run, but aim to finish so that you're able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have finished my race. When you go to John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord was talking to the Father and says, Father, I have finished the race. I have glorified you, for I have finished what you have sent me to do. Now glorify me with the same glory that I had before I came down. Saints, I want you to understand this morning that when we dispense the glory of God and we do it so well, we'll be able to receive the glory when we get to see the Father. He'll be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. It is when we've been faithful in that which God has called us to do that we'll be able to receive the reward. Here the Bible says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this is so important. For you to understand that the reward system in the kingdom of God is a reward that is double portioned. We receive a portion of that reward here on earth, and we receive the rest of it in the afterlife. Glory be to God. That is the first pillar around the principle of the reward. The second pillar I want to cover is this. The reward of the Lord will be in the public for all to see. The reward of the Lord will be in the public for all to see. I love it
Because when the Lord bless you here on earth, everybody will see and they will acknowledge the hand of God over your life. They will see the working of God in your life. Again, when we go to heaven, it will be before the multitudes and multitudes of people when we will be receiving the reward in heaven. It will all be public. In Matthew 6, verse 3, the Bible says, but when you do merciful deeds, in other words, when you dispense the glory of God, when you are the extension of God, when you are serving your community, you're going all out there and helping the poor. You're going to orphanages and you're making time and ministering to these kids. You're going to old age homes and you're ministering to our grandmas. The Bible says when you do merciful deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand does, so that your merciful deeds may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. When the Father starts rewarding you, everybody will see it. It doesn't matter whether you have taken photos in there giving out food, you know, and everybody has seen it. Maybe you're doing it in the comfort of your home. You're busy praying for people and nobody even knows that you've been praying for them. The Bible says the Father who sees in the secret, he will bless you openly. He will bless you openly. Verse 6. But when you pray, enter into your room and shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. I want you to understand this morning that when your Father starts blessing you, he will not ask permission from your enemies. He will not ask permission from those who want you to go down. They will see the hand of God blessing you and promoting you. That is why sometimes we cannot pray certain prayers. We will just say, Lord, in the same way that you blessed my neighbor with a new car, may you please bless me with a new car. Do you really know what your neighbor has been doing for him to be blessed with a new car by God? You don't know what people do behind the scenes that qualifies them for certain blessings. You got to run your own race so that you're able to say, Lord, according to my righteous acts, according to what I have done, remember me, O God. David would pray those kind of prayers. He would say, judge me, O God, according to my deeds, according to my righteousness, judge me between me and my foes. I'm talking about living a life where you serve God in the privacy of your life, where you do things and you don't have to tell the whole world and say, this is what I've been doing. The Bible is telling us here that when you do things in the secret, where your left hand does not know what your right hand has done, the Father will bless you in the open and everybody will see the blessings of the Lord. So I want to encourage you right now. I might not have said to you, thank you for serving in the house of God. Your Father is the one who is able to thank you appropriately. So that is the second pillar around the reward system in the kingdom of God. The reward of the Lord will be in the public for all to see. The third pillar, the reward is commensurate with one's works. Oh, this is a biggie. You see, remember we said a reward is a recognition for one's effort, one's labor, one's work. And now I want you to understand that the reward is commensurate to one's works. This aspect of the reward principle should cause you and I to be alert because it speaks of accountability. You and I will be rewarded. But when we are being rewarded, it is a measure of giving account. You see, it is not easy to give account to your wife. It is not easy to give account to your children. It's not easy to give account to your pastor, to give account to your boss. How much more giving account to God? It is never easy. But I want you to know, when the reward system is being applied, there is a level of accountability that comes upon our lives. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 27,
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. It means that my works are going to be tested. It means that the words that I spoke as I'm walking on this earth, those words, they will be looked at. For the Bible tells us that be careful of what you say. For every man shall give account of every word that he speaks. Now, I want you to understand that the reward system of God is attached to accountability. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. It means that my preaching will be tested on that day. It means that all the giving that I've been doing will be tested on that day. There are so many people who cannot put money in the offering basket unless people around them are seeing what money is being thrown in the offering basket. Have you been there? Some people in our church do EFTs, and I remember telling them, do not feel uncomfortable if you do not throw something in the offering basket, because you'd have already given doing your EFT. What is it? Why do we feel uncomfortable when we are not seen doing certain things? It is because sometimes we do it for people's accolades. Why do you give? That's a question this morning that somebody needs to understand. Are you giving in order to have an upper hand toward the pastor, in order to be able to control the affairs of the church? One of the things that I've seen in church is that people will come and they will give something on condition that their money will be used towards air conditions. They will say, Pastor, I want to give towards air cons. How about coming to the pastor and say, Pastor, I just want to give whatever the needs of the church are, may you just use this money towards that. You see, our attitude is very key. So when, on that day, when the Lord comes, he's going to look at our acts and he will reward us in line with our activities. 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox treading out grain, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. A laborer is worthy of his reward. And there's a place here, Paul, he goes on to say, do you think that this scripture was written so much concerning the ox? No, it was so much to bring a principle that says when somebody has worked, they deserve to be rewarded. When somebody has put an effort, they deserve a thank you. They deserve a remuneration. Glory be to God. Now, God operates with principles. The Bible is telling us that when somebody has worked, you need to ensure that you pay them on time. These are the principles that God is putting out. And I want you to know that God is a God of justice. He applies the same principles even on himself. So when you have worked, guess what? Father God will reward you. He says here, you shall not muzzle the ox treading out grain. So when you are serving God, when you are ministering in the house of God, I want you to know that the our God who is in heaven, he looks down and says, I'm going to do you good. I'm going to reward you. You see, understanding the principle of the reward changes our attitude when we are serving. It changes our approach when we do things. Glory be to God. Because the reward is in line with our actions, it means that I will serve with excellence. Because I know that my works will be tested. They will be tried with fire. I therefore want to deliver everything with plus one service. Do not muzzle the ox treading out grain. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Oh man, I just love it. Because God is the best employer ever. Because he understands reward. When you serve God, sometimes you don't even have to wait asking him to reward you. He will reward you. Revelation 22, verse 12. Look, I'm coming soon. That's a profound reminder for the church that Jesus is coming back soon. He might come back right now as I speak. He might come back tomorrow. But he says, behold, I'm coming back soon. Are we ready for the coming back of the Messiah?
And he says, I'm not just coming back, but I'm coming back with my reward. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Your works matter. He says, my reward is in my hands, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. According to what they have done. So when you come into the house of God, you need to understand that you will give an account for what you're doing in the house of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Let's understand this principle. 1 Peter 5, 2. The Bible says, this is to elders and the leaders in the house of God. Feed the flock of God among you, taking the oversight, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for base gain, but readily. Nor as lording it over those allotted to you by God, but becoming examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a never-fading crown of glory. You shall receive a never-fading crown of glory when the chief shepherd appears. When the chief shepherd appears, the Lord Jesus, he will reward you. When you have been travailing for the saints, when you have been preaching even out of season, when you've been preaching when it is not comfortable, the Bible is telling us when you feed, when you look after the sheep, When you tend the sheep, when you protect the sheep from the hyenas and the wolves around, the Bible says, do it so well. Don't do it out of compulsion, but do it willingly. Because you are accountable to the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd comes and he looks at the way you have been shepherding his flock, you say, that looks like me. You deserve a reward. Hallelujah. He says, you shall receive a crown whose glory does not fade. I want to encourage every pastor, every church leader, every cell group, every person that has been serving God faithfully to know that there is a reward coming. Your Father in heaven will reward you. You will not go home empty-handed. It's a blessing to serve God. It's worth it to serve the King of Glory. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Paul was busy talking about us being in this body, this temple. And Paul was saying that whether I am in this body or I'm out of this body, I am with the Lord. I want to serve him. And now he says here, so we aspire to please him, whether we are here in this body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. He says here, for we know we shall appear before him and we will receive what is due. I want you to know that God is faithful. He will reward you according to your effort. He will reward you according to the level of excellence. Hallelujah. And he says here, we shall receive due for the things done in the body. Are you happy with what's happening in your body? Are you happy with the quality of delivery right now? Because guess what? On that day, we shall be rewarded in line with our service unto God. Number four, let's look at the fourth pillar around the principle of the reward. Your reward is guaranteed. Rewards are guaranteed for those who serve God. No one will go empty-handed. You see, you might serve God for 2 years, 5 years, and it doesn't look like something is happening in your life. It looks like your life is wasting away. It looks like everybody else is running past you. People are being promoted at work, but for you, nothing is going well. You look at your body, there's sickness, there's disease in your body, and yet you're serving God faithfully, and you're at the verge of giving up. I want to speak to somebody right now who has been serving God, and yet they look at their lives. They look like nothing is working. Nothing is working. Well, you're not the first one. The Apostle Paul said,
Though we might be wasting away outwardly, but inwardly we are growing stronger and stronger. He says we are struggling as apostles, but you are doing well. It is for your sake. Hallelujah. You see, somebody would sacrifice for your well-being. And today I want you to understand that your reward is guaranteed. When you serve God, hallelujah, give me 5 years, you will see the difference between those who serve God and those who do not. Right now, there might seem to be no difference, but I want you to know we serve a faithful God who will honor those who serve him. The Bible says in Mark 9, verse 41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." He shall not lose. It's an emphatic statement that whatever you do for somebody, because they belong to Jesus Christ, remember, whatever you do to somebody, you're doing it to Jesus. There's a place where Jesus said, "On that day I'll say, you did not feed me when I was hungry. You did not visit me when I was in prison." And they'll say, "But Lord, we never saw you." And Jesus says, "That one that you ignored, that one that you never visited, that was me." So this morning, I want you to know that whatever you do for the little ones, you are doing it for Jesus. When you teach God kids, I want to speak to those of you who are ministering to our children in our kids' ministry. You see, they might not be able to express how grateful they are because they're the little ones. But I want you to know, you will in no wise lose your reward when you serve the little children in God Kids, when you're depositing, you know, principles of God to these little ones. I want you to know that the Lord will bless you. When you go and give food to poor people who are not able to give back to you, some might not even say thank you, and you feel disgruntled, you feel like these people are so ungrateful. I want you to know it's all before God. And he says, yeah, you shall not lose your reward. You shall not lose your reward. Pastoring is one of those most thankless jobs where nobody remembers to say, "Thank you, Pastor, for that." Do you know what keeps us going? It is this principle. It's knowing that whatever we do for God, whatever we do for you, we are doing it for him, and we will no wise lose our reward. I want to encourage you to have this perception, to have this attitude. Hebrews 6, verse 10, I love this. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." For the Lord is not unrighteous. In other words, he's saying, the moment I ignore your labor, I become unrighteous. And that's not the nature of God. He is the righteous God. He is the holy God. And he's saying here, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, to forget the work that you do for him. He says, "I am not unrighteous." I was telling a pastor friend of mine, and I say to him, "Do you know that us as human beings, we forget the labor that we put in the house of God?" You see, you've been serving God for so many years, and you have even forgotten the stuff that you did 5 years ago. But God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten the labor that you have put in the house of God. If you've been worshiping God and serving God for the past 15 years, what you did in your first year of being born again, it is written in the book of life. It is written in memory, and God remembers that. You might not recall every good deed that you've done, but God does not forget. This must be an encouraging word for somebody today, that God has not forgotten the ministry that you have done and that which you continue doing. He says here, "For God is not unrighteous." For God is not unrighteous. Let's look at pillar number 5. God promises a great reward. God promises a great reward. I want to be blessed by God. I want to be rewarded by God. If you have a choice today, between being rewarded by a man and being rewarded by God, choose God. Because the reward of God is great. The reward of God blows your mind away. The reward of God will be there for all to see, and people will testify that this can only be by God. Luke 6, verse 35. The Bible says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return." You see, when we are hoping for a return from people, we cut out a return from God. "And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. We shall be the children of the Most High, because we carry his nature. It is in the nature of God to cause rain to fall upon the wicked and to cause rain to fall upon the ungodly." And he says here, "Be like me, love the unlovable. Give those who cannot pay you back." Because it is easy to give somebody whom you know they are able to give you back. You know they have capacity to give you back one day. It is easy to give a birthday present to somebody whom you know that when it comes to your birthday, they will be able to give you. It's not easy to give somebody that you know they are far from it. They won't be able to give you anything when you have your own birthday. But here the Bible is telling us, you need to love, not expecting a return from those people. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. How many times has relationship been broken when you have lent money to somebody and they fail to give it back to you? There's a place where the Bible says, when you have given, do not expect it to come back. That is why for me and my wife, we have decided to say, if we are to give somebody some money, if they come to us and they say, "Can you please lend us some money?" We will give them money that we are comfortable to part ways with, in case they're not able to give back. So if we give you something, now we are prepared to lose it. This is what the Bible is saying here. Lend and hoping for nothing in return. And your reward shall be great. The reward of the Lord is great. The Bible tells us that the blessings of the Lord make rich and they add no sorrow. Hallelujah. When you look at Matthew 19, verse 29, talking about a great reward, it says here, "And everyone who left homes or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." We are talking about a hundredfold. He's talking about the multiplicity of the blessings of God. The magnitude of the reward of God, a hundredfold. For me, I want to be blessed by God. I want to receive from God, not from man. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 18 speaks of the nature of the reward. It says here, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed in us." So the sufferings that we experience, the troubles and the pains that we go through are not compared to the glory. There's a place where John says, we don't know how we shall appear, but we know that when he appears, we shall look like him. We shall be like him. We are talking about a greater level of glory, and the reward of the Lord is mighty. I want to encourage you today not to lose hope. Don't lose hope if things seem to be slow right now. Your reward is coming. Let's look at pillar number 6. This is so profound. The Lord is the source of the reward. The Lord is the source of the reward. Many people have confused the source. I want you to understand that when you serve God, you need to see him as your reward. When you see God as your reward, it changes the complexion of things. It changes the way we serve God. Colossians 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "And whatever you do," it means whatever, whether it is with your children, whether it is at work, whether it is in the house of God, the Bible tells us, "Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man." Do it heartily. When you come to clean the house of God, when you come for prayer, when you come and you minister in the worship team, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto man. And this is the question that we should ask ourselves. The service I have given, is it really worth it for this great king? Can I give this to another person? In the book of Malachi, God was complaining about the quality of offerings and the sacrifices that were being given. He's saying, if you take that lame goat that you have given in the house of God and you take it to your premier, will he receive it? And God says, if I am your father, where is my honor? Now, if we give excellence to our bosses at work, should we not do more when it comes into the house of God? Should we not do more? Should we not be giving plus one service? Now, here the Bible says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. Why? Knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. For you serve God. He is your great reward. I want to encourage you to change your attitude when it comes to serving in the house of God. Change your attitude to say, it doesn't matter even if nobody says, thank you for being an usher. Thank you for keeping the sound great. Do it unto the Lord. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, I'm not even advocating for abuse, because yes, pastors can be very abusive sometimes, where they just expect you to give and give and give without acknowledging it. But in a case that you are in that environment, keep on giving as unto the Lord, because it is from the Lord that you receive a reward. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For whoever comes to the Lord must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, he is our great king and he's the one who rewards you appropriately. Hallelujah. As we draw to a close, let's look at the last one, the last pillar. Number 7, recklessness can result in the loss of a reward that could have been. Very, very key. When we are reckless in our serving of God, we can lose a reward that could have been. We can lose that crown that could have been. We can lose that additional diamond that could have been stuck on our crown in heaven. You see, we can forfeit rewards from God by seeking rewards from men. When we seek men to reward us, when we seek God to, when we seek men to thank us, we might lose our own rewards from God. A reward that could have been yours can be lost by not building according to the pattern. When God has given you a mandate and he gives you a blueprint on how to serve him in a specific domain, if you do not follow through and you do the correct thing, you might lose your reward. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, watch out that you do not lose that we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. You have done well up to now, but there is a stern warning. Watch out. You might lose that reward by allowing heresy, allowing other attitudes, by changing your attitude. You might lose your very reward that was meant to be yours. And John here, he says here, be careful. When you look at the church at Galatia, the Galatian church, they started well in the spirit. And Paul was getting concerned and he said to them, who has bewitched you? You started well in the spirit. Now you're going back to the law. You're going back to things of the flesh. I want to encourage somebody not to lose heart. Don't change your attitude when it comes to serving God. Now, next week, I'm going to take you through the nature of the reward. Many people have a misunderstanding of the reward. They look at certain things and think, oh, that is the reward that I should be receiving. But we need to understand the nature of God's reward over our lives as we look at the last segment of the reward of a glory dispenser. I really believe that God wants to encourage us and to stir up our faith and to believe that when I serve God, there must be something that comes out of it. It's not our fixation, but we must have the expectation to receive from God. When you have that expectation, you'll be able to receive that reward. Hallelujah. You'll be able to wait for it patiently. Hallelujah. So today, this was the whole point, to encourage you to live in expectation of the reward that comes from God. May the Lord bless you as you continue serving Him, as you continue becoming that distribution center for the glory of God, because God is faithful. And I want to just remind you again of Hebrews 6 verse 10 that says, God is not unrighteous to forget the ministry that you have been doing, even that which you continue doing. May the Lord bless you. May you be strengthened in serving God. Let us run the race that has been set before us, knowing that at the end of that race, there is a reward waiting for us. So, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. But let's close off in prayer. Father, I thank you today for your word. Lord, I pray that your people would know that you are a good God, that it is worth it to serve you. Lord, I pray today that you encourage somebody who is in a state of discouragement. Maybe their lives are at a standstill, yet they have been serving you faithfully. Lord, may they be reminded that they will in no wise lose their reward. Father, I thank you that their reward is coming and that you are a rewarder of those that seek you diligently. Lord, I bless your people with this new way of thinking today. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name. So, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. May the Lord keep you for the rest of this week until we meet next week again as we finish off this concept of the reward of a glory dispenser. God bless you.